Our devotional tonight comes from one of the passages that we'll be looking at this Sunday, and I want to read from Mark 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, and I'm going to bring out just one facet of something that's in the passage and bring it out a little bit more detail than what we would be able to go into during the message. So Mark 2, 1 through 17. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So, when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now in our passage tonight, we've got two scenes with Jesus, and in each of these scenes, a complaint against Jesus is lodged. So in the first scene, verses 1 through 12, we have the account of Jesus healing the man who's paralyzed. The paralyzed man has to be carried into Jesus by four of his friends. But that's because the house where Jesus is preaching is so crammed full of people, the friends can't get the paralyzed man through. They can't even get into the door with him. So they have to open the roof, and then they lower the paralyzed man down to Jesus. And as they do that, everyone in the house is watching this paralyzed man being lowered by four men down through the opening. Now, one thing you want to note for this complaint, the paralyzed man is probably judged by many who are present as a sinner. Those around that are looking and watching, they may not say it out loud, but in their minds, it's very likely that a lot of them are thinking, "This paralyzed guy, he did something wrong. That's why he can't walk. He probably sinned. That's why he's paralyzed." You see that kind of thinking in John 9:2, where Jesus' own disciples think this way and speak this way and evaluate people this way. Says in John 9:2, his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind. So not even in his lifetime, he was born blind, and Jesus' own disciples are thinking, who sinned, this man or his parents? So this is the kind of religion that thinks if you're suffering, you sin. If you're suffering, you must have sinned. But look at what Jesus does in this context with the paralyzed man. Instead of healing the man, Jesus instead says, son, your sins are forgiven you. So with that understanding that people are thinking that, Jesus goes for the unspoken thought that is on everyone's minds. And this is where the first complaint that we're going to look at comes from. The first complaint against Jesus is this. Jesus acts like he's God. Jesus acts like he's God. Verse 7. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So the critics of Jesus are scandalized because they know that only God can forgive sins. For instance, when God appears before Moses in a well-known account, listen to what God himself says about himself. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him, before Moses, and this is when the Ten Commandments are given for the second time. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So he there, the Lord says that he is the Lord God. He is the one who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. This is distinctive about God. He is the one that can impute sin, reckon sin, but he's also the one who can remove and forgive sin. So in this crowded house, Jesus is pronouncing forgiveness of sins on this paralyzed man as if he, Jesus, was a priest at a sacrifice, maybe, declaring that sins are remitted, or as if he were God himself. So that's the critics' complaint, first of all. Jesus is acting like he's God. So that's this one scene. The next scene, verses 13 through 17. Jesus calls Levi, the tax collector, follow him, and then he goes to Levi's house to dine with him. It's not a small meal, but it's a large meal. But who is Levi? You'll recall from a few weeks ago when we looked at a parallel passage, Luke, that tax collectors were viewed as opportunists, disreputable opportunists, people who sold out their own countrymen, taking extra money for themselves in their government job. It was legal, but they pushed the lines, and they were not liked. They were not appreciated, and they tended to abuse the powers that they had. So they would be considered traitors by their people, traitors who aided the occupying Roman government. So if you were someone who cared about your country, if you were a patriot, if you were someone who cared about Israel, if you cared about the true religion, you would not have liked tax collectors. But it's people like this tax collector, Levi, people like Levi, whom Jesus calls, follow him. Jesus is calling unloyal people become loyal to him. And it's not only that Jesus calls one notable tax collector to be his follower. Verse 15, Jesus willingly attends a meal where there's Levi, and it's at his home, and it says there are many, many tax collectors and sinners at the table with Jesus and Levi. And so the feel of it would be this group of people who are morally questionable, untrustworthy people, people that it would be normal to dislike and to detest. The field would be something like this. If you were a political progressive, it would be like seeing Jesus dining happily with a bunch of Trump supporters and not having qualms about it, just right in the middle. Or it would feel like if you were a far-right conservative looking at Jesus with a group of Bernie bros around him, and you would think, why is he so comfortable? Why is he there in the middle with so many? Why is he not making any qualifications? Whatever you are, how would Jesus look to you if you saw him in the scene? Jesus would look wrong, wrong, wrong. You would look at it and say, this is not where the leader of the true religion should be. He shouldn't be with these people. And so this occasion, the second complaint against Jesus, he acts like a sinner. He acts like a sinner. Verse 16, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? How is it that he is comfortable with people who are morally untrustworthy, politically disloyal? You would never ask these people to babysit. So they're asking, how can he befriend and dine with these people? Now, if you put these two together, these two complaints about Jesus, they're charging Jesus with two wrongs. They're saying, he acts like God, he acts like a sinner. Isn't that interesting? He acts like God, he acts like a sinner. And what can we say about that? We can say this. The critics are correct. The critics are correct. Jesus does act like God. He forgives sins. He heals diseases. And Jesus does act like a sinner. How? It's not that he ever sinned, but he's closely associated with sinners. And then beyond that, he took on a likeness of sinful flesh, it says in Romans 8:13. That, if it was not in Scripture, would be a heresy. And so we can sympathize a little bit with why they criticize Jesus this way. But the word is very clear. Jesus took on the likeness of sinful flesh in order to save sinners. Another passage, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So his critics hate him for these things. He acts like God, he acts like a sinner. But we who believe, we love him for these very things. Amen. We're going to go to our time of prayer. I would like to, we're still trying to get our bearings. I would like to start with just a time of praise, adoration, a little bit of response to the word, as well as a time, it can be a time of confession. So, and we'll devote some time for that, and then, we'll move into the prayer news. If you need a sheet, feel free to get one by the door. It should be mailed out for those of you online that need one. So let's go ahead and start and go into a time of adoration, praise, confession before the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we are here in the name of Jesus. We thank you that he came for us. We acknowledge that he is God. He is God the Son. We acknowledge that he became man and took on sinful appearance, the likeness of sinful man. And we needed that. We needed a perfect substitute. We are sinners. We needed salvation. We thank you, Lord, for this gift. It is a gift. All we can do is receive it. Thank you. We pray that we would be a people who are dependent upon your grace. Guard us, Lord. We easily find it a path of self-righteousness. We get all tripped up, but we have no righteousness. We come by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.